SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. It's level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Boston, the Babanos, and everybody else in between. Thanks to Cam Stewart for joining us on the program. Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible will join us a little bit later on. We'll get to Babano in a second here. A story that we haven't gotten to yet this evening is there are reports, and they're not being denied, that Texas and Oklahoma have inquired about joining the SEC and a potential massive realignment shakeup of college football, which we know is almost sort of inevitable in a sense. You know, remember the outrage of the European Soccer League, right? Remember the Euro soccer powers basically said, you know what, everyone else can suck it. We're going to start our own league. And people flipped. And it wasn't even a league. It was sort of a competition. They were going to start their own, whatever, but it was the precursor to it, right? You know, everything, it's like life itself. It's always about the elite. But, so, citing a high-ranking official, Houston Chronicle, Brent Zennerman, reports, a high-ranking college official knowledge of the situation, said that the SEC could announce the additions of the Longhorns and the Sooners within a couple of weeks. What? CBS Sports can confirm that at least Texas have inquired with the SEC about admission into the nation's most powerful conference. One Big 12 source says there's just way too much smoke at this point, essentially, for this not to be true. And like now other people, like Brett McMurphy's all over college football. He's in touch as anyone. He's talking about that there's mutual interest. Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC, they want to do this. They're locked in until 2025. Now, I see we have Sooner Lisa here, and she, you know, she could listen. She bleeds Sooner, right? She loves the Sooners as much as anybody in the world. But I can tell you from an outsider looking in here, I think it's a big mistake. I think it's a massive mistake if you're Oklahoma. Texas, whatever. Like, Texas, you're screwed. You know, let me just say this to you, Texas. You guys can't win in the Big 12. You think you're going to win in the SEC? And if you're Oklahoma, what do you have to gain from this? What do you have to gain from this? Nothing. Like, if you're Oklahoma, are you hurt in recruiting right now? Are you hurt in recruiting because you're not in the SEC? Oh, I would go there, but you're not in the SEC? Two of the last three top picks in the NFL draft were quarterbacks from Oklahoma. And the number one favorite to be the number one pick in the draft this year is in Oklahoma in the Big 12. So like, what if you're Oklahoma, what are you not getting? If you're Oklahoma, what, are you getting left outside of the playoffs? No. You make the playoffs all the time. Win and you're in the playoffs. Like, you've got life good, Oklahoma. Look at Missouri. I know Oklahoma's not Missouri, but Texas and Oklahoma, you're nuts. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pistol players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Babano will rejoin us in a moment. We'll talk some college football with Babano. We'll continue our NFL breakdowns, though. If you tuned in on Sunday night, we got into. Babano's doing daily videos, which we'll let you know how you can see them. But he's doing daily videos going in alphabetical order. I like it. We've got to start doing our previews, but we'll start kicking the tires tonight as well with Babano. I've already started putting in some NFL future plays. Haven't put any college future plays in yet. But the big news of college football today is that Texas and Oklahoma, and it's not being denied, it's being reported now by a million people, that Texas and Oklahoma are on the verge of bolting the Big 12, and they're going to join the SEC. And if you're the SEC, I think it's great, right? If you're the SEC, you're like, this just makes us more powerful. We get a better TV deal. You know what I mean? It just makes us, gives us more leverage with the television networks moving forward. We're, you know, we're trying to just take over college football. But if you're Oklahoma now, is that what you want? You want to be in a division with the Georgia Bulldogs instead of Oklahoma State? Like, if you're Oklahoma, like, what, are you not making the playoffs now? No, you're making the playoffs. Are you not getting top players? No, you get top players. So what is it that you want? You want to play Alabama and lose to them in a regular season instead of getting your ass handed to them in a playoff? So that'll be better. There's only one reason why this makes sense for Texas or for Oklahoma. They will make more money. They won't win more. Their chances of winning will be worse. All right? Their chances of winning will be worse. You're not doing the coach any favors. You think Lincoln Riley wants this? How is this good for him? Oh, yeah, great. So now I play the Florida Gators all the time. Why? We already have. Like, I have the top guys in the NFL as it is now. You got a good thing going. Win a damn championship. Don't worry about, like, going to other conferences. Like, all this does is make them more money. Doesn't help the kids on the team. Doesn't change anyone's life for the better. All it does is make the school more money. That's it. It's the only reason why it's good for them. There's not one damn good football reason for it. Not one. Prove me wrong, people. But Bano steps back up and then bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
You'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it. Mo, $23 on New York.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down. I just went on a little rant, I should say, about Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. And I think from a football standpoint, you know, I get it. They're going to sell off from a recruiting and TV. We'll be on this more and we'll be on that more. So what? Like, so what? Like, what does that change? You already make a gazillion dollars. You already have the top picks in the NFL draft. You already have the most sought after coach. You're already hot. All you got to do is win, beat them in one game. Like, it's pretty simple. You win a championship. Right, like from a football standpoint, I think it's a disaster. I think it's a stupid thing. But from a purely business standpoint, and let's call it out for what it is, everything is just a business, right? Oklahoma's brand is as big as these other teams' brands. Like the Oklahoma Sooner brand is as big as the Florida Gator brand, all right? It's as big as the Alabama brand, right? And Oklahoma's brand is bigger than Oklahoma State's is. It's bigger than Kansas State's is and Kansas is. And I can see them thinking, so I understand it from Oklahoma's perspective in a way, that if we're going to keep up with the elite, in the modern future, like 5-10 years from now, look, that doesn't even start till 25, right? We're going to have to, like, improve what we're doing. Like, you know, our business model, so to speak. So I get it. So from a business standpoint, I understand. But that's what I just said moments ago. This is only for money. This doesn't help Lincoln Riley. And in fact, it hurts him, right? He ain't going to go 11-1 and 12-0 now in the regular season anymore. And, you know, so now Oklahoma, you're going to sacrifice this and there'll be growing pain. Suddenly you're going to lose three games and, like, you know, and then people are, you know, like I said, you've got to be careful what you wish for. And another thing is, too, you don't even need to go anywhere. They're expanding the stupid playoffs as it is. So you get into the playoffs anyways. This is just money. It's simply cash. Straight cash, homie. Let's bring in back Babano right now. Ian Cameron. Babano. All right, Babano. So
I think all you got to do, Gabe, is look at the evidence. Look at what we've seen so far for the two previous, the most recent examples of Big 12 teams that migrated to the SEC, Texas A&M and Missouri. You know, outside of Johnny Manziel, those seasons with him at A&M, they've been toiled in mediocrity, you know, in the SEC for the last several years. So that's probably what's in the future of a Texas or an Oklahoma, especially Texas. Like Texas in the heart of the Mac Brown era when they were facing USC in the title game, I could see them wanting to make a case to play in the SEC. Now they're going to get absolutely steamrolled and crushed playing in the SEC with the current version of Texas, which has been obviously an underachiever and on the decline in recent seasons. And by the way, Sarkisian's got a big job ahead of him in my mind this season. So you're right, it's got to be money if they're looking to make this move.
Yeah, but Texas is a good example, and I agree with you about it. I think Oklahoma, and listen, I'm not acting like Oklahoma's a high school football team going into the SEC. They're not. But they're on par. That's the problem. Suddenly, you know what I mean, you're not the bully on the block anymore, and you got to play Georgia. You got to play Florida. You got to play LSU. You got to play Alabama. And, yeah, you can deal with all these teams, but your record ain't going to be the same at the end of the year, right? It's just natural progression of what's going to happen. So you're really selling out for more money. It's as simple as that. You're dominating in the Big 12 now. The Big 12 is a good conference. You make the playoffs. It's not like the Big 12 gets ignored, Babano, right, in the playoffs. You can't say, oh, we're not getting players to the NFL. Spencer Rattler's the projected number one pick this year. Again, so three of the last four picks will probably be Oklahoma quarterbacks in the Big 12, right? It's solely for money, like you said, Babano. And, like, look at, like, you're right. Like, look at Texas A&M. They've had a few flashes and stuff like that. But, and you're right. Like, Oklahoma can play, but I think it's a bad move for them. But business-wise, I understand it. And you're right about Texas. Texas get pushed around, Babano, in the Big 12. Like, Oklahoma can hold their own. Like, Texas get pushed around in the Big 12. Like, Iowa State pushed them around. Like, what the hell's going to happen, bro, when Texas goes to LSU and Florida on back-to-back?
They struggled with TCU over the years, too.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. But why, Babano? Why? Because what was I talking about earlier, bro? And I'll throw my own team in this mix. Michigan. Michigan's brand, Babano, is way bigger and more respected than the quality of football. I can't argue that, would you? No. Can't argue that. Michigan are a big-time team. Like, if there was a super conference, Michigan are in it. Right? And it doesn't matter. You guys are 7-5 every year all the time. Doesn't matter. You have 108,000 seat stadium. You have a great TV tradition. You're a big team. That's all it comes down to. So that's the same thing. Like, you just said it about it, too. Oklahoma and the SEC, fine. From a competitive standpoint, let's play matchmaker like the UFC, guys. That's not a mismatch. It's not like, what are you, crazy? You're going to get killed. I think you're crazy. It's almost like having a beautiful wife and you got a great thing going and you're leaving for some other trophy piece. It's like, dude, you got a great thing going here. I don't know. If I'm Oklahoma, I don't need to change anything. But if I'm Texas, if you're Texas, you know, they don't, put it this way, Babano, like, you can't even justify that they deserve to go to the SEC, Texas, Babano. From a football standpoint, like, they're not on that level, bro. You know what I mean? Like, Texas, you go to the SEC. Oklahoma goes to the SEC. They're battling for the division and stuff. Like, they're right there with Florida and LSU and Alabama. Well, Alabama's always, you know. But you know what I mean? Oklahoma's right there. Texas go to the SEC, but they're like Missouri, bro. they'll literally be like 5-7 and stuff. Like they'll get messed up. Like Vanderbilt will beat them. Like, you know what I mean? They'll be like, oh,
they're already
man,
losing
Kentucky
recruits in state to Baylor and Texas A&M, who've out recruited them in recent years. So that's the problem too. I mean, they're going to get absolutely recruiting is suffering for Texas in the Big 12 the last few years. You're going to hope to go up to against these SEC teams and try to out recruit them. Good luck with that.
I know they probably think, you know what, we'll have an easier time keeping these kids if we're telling them you're in the SEC now, right? And I think if you're Texas, you're looking at Texas A&M, who are sort of catching up on it because of the money that's coming in. And that's all it is, the money. But yeah, that's my point as well, guys, that Texas aren't even good. I do believe in Sarkisian, maybe more than you do, Ben, because I think he's going to be good. But with that being stated, they're not yet. You're talking about a Texas team, guys. It's always 6-5 and stuff, like 6-7-6, 6-6. You're a middle of the road Big 12 team, but you're ultra popular. So that's why they're getting invited to battle, right? Like, and honestly, I was thinking about this too. Why, if you're Texas, you got to be thinking, like, why the SEC even want us? Like, they're using us for our money, and they think they're going to beat us. So that's why I said, if you're the SEC, you're laughing. You get a new powerhouse in Oklahoma to add to your stable. The logo's great, and Oklahoma will hold their own. And you're getting Texas and all their millions of fans, Babano. And you're getting free wins, Babano, against them, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Alabama or if I'm LSU, I'm like, sure, vote Texas in. I approve. We'll beat them, and they're popular, and we'll make more money. It's like fighting Conor McGregor, but
see, Texas thinks
Texas.
They can sell, and they probably can. Texas probably thinks we can sell ourselves based on the name reputation of what the University of Texas and what
can.
Football
what
has been here for decades.
They have their own network, Babano. Yeah. Like, why? Even though it's been a big failure, but they can sell, Babano. They can. The brand is
that's
that
right.
Big.
And that is what sells. It certainly isn't based on the current reality of performance on the field.
No, but it shows, though, what we're doing here. So don't tell us about this as college athletics, all right? You're going to have teams flying around the country. You're full of crap. It's a business. And you don't even want to pay these people for the business that you run. That's like a cold-hearted business in the first place.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Problem.
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
I keep telling you, yes, I do. Yes. I tweeted out the picture of this 8-foot horse. Weighs 2,000 pounds. No kidding. I think our conflict diamond horse raced against this guy. Dude, you got no idea how big this horse is. Massive horse. Follow me on Twitter, @SportsRage. Ian Cameron kicking with us. So, yeah, we're just talking about college football. I'll throw a couple. I don't know if you've done your kick the tires on these teams yet, but I just want to say, and I had Gabriel Morency, shout out to everybody tuning in on SiriusXM Channel 204 and our radio affiliates. So I wanted to say, I get it from a business standpoint. And this is where we're going, guys. You saw this in Babano. You're not a soccer guy, but in Babano in Europe, it was the same thing. Basically, Manchester United, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and blah, 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 all the big teams basically said, man, why are we, like, sharing money with all these other losers? You know what I mean? Like, why do we play these other teams? Why don't we just play each other, right? Why don't we just play each other and create our own thing, and we'll make a gazillion dollars, we'll get this crazy TV deal, we'll block everybody else out, and it'll make us stronger because players will want to play for us because they're going to want to be on TV and this stuff, and we're going to have all the money. So, and it got shut down by the fans, ironically enough. Fans, like, rioted. Fans said, you're not creating some super league. Doesn't work that way. The team's, you know, no, it belongs to the people. We're not doing this. But you know they're going to do it anyways, right? They just settled down. They're going to go back to it. They've been kicking the tires on this, guys, for years in college football. It's come up. You don't think that when all these hotshot Power Five commissioners speak to each other, that they're like, you know what I mean? It's already come up. You know, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, LSU. You know what I mean? You could create your own top 20 and have this powerhouse of college football teams, and you could have the most powerful television contract ever. You could say whatever. SEC? Like the rest of the conference, I would almost do it. Like the rest of the conferences could gang up on the SEC. If you imagine, Babano, if you pluck two teams, three teams for the Big 12, a couple of teams for the Pac, like Oklahoma suddenly is in a new thing with Oregon. Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, you know, Boise, you just start grabbing teams from, like, you know, the West Coast. You could throw together a really serious television contract, right? So, I you know, it's all sort of bastardized with this stuff. But my point, my ultimate point is, the traditions of these programs are built on winning, right? And the fact of the matter is, that's the point. Ohio State plays a bunch of cupcakes before their schedule starts, right? And then they only play a couple of tough games during the regular season. Oklahoma kicks the crap out of bad football teams. That's what's made Oklahoma's tradition, right? Winning. Winning and scoring and winning Heismans and putting big numbers up. Big offensive games against bad teams, right? You want to play against good teams every week. And I'm not just calling Oklahoma. I'm talking about all you super teams that want to play against each other all the time. Yeah, the college commissioners and the deans like this stuff because they make more money and they don't care about anything, right? They don't care about winning. All they care about is money. So let's just be real. It's a slippery slope. And then you lose your tradition. You lose your tradition, Babano. You know what I'm saying? Of, man, we're 10-2 every year. We're 11-1 every year. And now suddenly, no, we're 6-5 every year, 6-6 every year. Because the competition, if you're only playing against super teams every week, then inevitably you're not going to blow teams out every week. Like, the tradition of a lot of these teams is built on routing teams. Like, look at Notre Dame football. Notre Dame football plays a crap-ass schedule. For years they did. Their schedule has been harder recently. And look, now their schedule is harder and they don't win as much. Right? So they used to dominate with the crap-ass schedule. Like, playing in the super stuff, it's sort of like cannibalism, Abano. You're killing yourself in the long term. You're making money, but you're killing yourself in the long term. It's as simple as that.
That's what we're in. We're in an era now where making money is king, and if it means we're going to sacrifice, you, what you said, 11-1 and 10-2 in the Big 12 for a 500 record in the SEC, but we're going to cash in, we'll do it. And Notre Dame, to their credit, they've been a pretty good program for 10 years, but they have that ceiling too. You know, whenever they face Alabama, they can't win. Whenever they face Clemson, they can't win. Whenever they face Georgia, they struggle too. You know, teams like that. So they have a ceiling. That's the way it is. It had Georgia. I just mentioned Georgia. They're petrified, Georgia fans. And I'm sure Kyle in Atlanta, our friend, will agree with me. They're petrified about their season opener against Clemson. Because even with Kirby Smart and all the progress he's made, they've had that ceiling, with that hump, that hurdle that they just can't
Georgia,
get over.
If I was Georgia, I'd be wanting to move to the Big 12. you know what I mean? I'd be like,
we need a downgrade in competition.
Yeah, I know, honestly. No, if I was Georgia, I'd say, you know what? How come we're not in the ACC with Georgia Tech? You know what I mean? I'm dead serious. I'd say, you know what? Well, I'd rather just play Clemson once a year than have to deal with LSU, Florida. Because it's inevitable in the SEC, Babano. It's a cycle where they're always going to be good. You know what I mean? Like, there's a cycle here. Alabama haven't always been like this, guys. But before, you know, Florida was, right? And then it turns into LSU's great. And then Alabama's great. And there's this little cycle that you have to deal with that they just pop up. But you're right about Georgia. And I'll be honest with you, man. Let's start off right there. Point spread's 3 right now. The game keeps getting closer and closer right now. It is on a neutral field. But I think Clemson's the play, bro. Like, I believe in this quarterback. I think he's great. I think there's going to be zero drop-off in the offense. And, in fact, he's more mobile than Trevor Lawrence was. So there's going to be a new dynamic and dimension to this. They lost a lot of talent and stuff, but I'm not a big JT Daniels guy. And shout-out to our boy Kyle in Atlanta. But I wasn't a big JT Daniels guy when he was at USC. There's a reason why Slovis is the quarterback there now. And I like Clemson minus the 3 in that opener, Babano.
Yeah, I'm probably right there with you as of right now. I mean, Georgia is one of those teams in a game like that where they have just had that inferiority complex, if you will, you know, against Alabama and the absolute, you know, juggernaut team that has been on their schedule every year under Kirby Smart. Unfortunately, they've come up short each and every time in all of those games. And I worry about that again here. Remember what happened against Florida, too, for Georgia. Ugly against them last. So it's just been an issue for them consistently. And I like DJ Uiagalelei. He's going to be fantastic. I mean, didn't we see what he did with Trevor Lawrence out last year? He just stepped in. It was almost seamless. Like, he just grasped everything. He knew the offense. He took to it seamlessly and made the plays when he had to through the air with his legs. He's actually going to have Justin Ross back this year. Remember, he was a receiver that didn't play most of the season last year for Clemson. He's going to be back. The offense is still going to be very, very explosive. Defense, there's going to be more reloading than rebuilding with a team like Clemson, but there will be some changes that they will have to adjust to early in the year. But you know, you've got the whole spring and summer to prepare and get them in a spot, you know, for a game like this. And usually Dabo Swinney's good at getting his team ready for a game like this, even with, you know, a few changes and then having to replace a few starters. So I'm not too worried about that.
And that's the thing with Ben. People forget that, right, about, like they lost this guy and that guy. And they did. They lost some players, right? I mean, look, they lost the 10, right? They lost the running back. The Rodgers, the wide receiver kid, to the Packers, he's good. There are some defensive guys. Their defense is pretty loaded, actually, though, Clemson this year. Last year was the year, actually, remember, Ben, coming into last year, was like, wow, Clemson lost a lot of guys on defense, right? It was one of those deals.
It was more concerning last year, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And it was. You can see, bro, they couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop the passing attack, like, you know what I mean? They had a problem. Right, like, but they got a bunch of good D linemen again now. Their defense is stacked, and offensively, think about it, guys. There was the same concern, Babano. Oh man, I don't know how are they going to keep this going without Deshaun Watson. Well, enter Trevor Lawrence, right? And people forget Deshaun Watson was there and won a national championship, right? And enter it was same thing. Oh my God, Mac Jones going to be a big drop off from Tua. Mac Jones was a big star and killed it, won a title, so. It's funny how, you know, there's always that perception. But, yeah, this kid, and I was talking to some of the band, I don't know who brought it up, but with a football guest we had on, and they said they saw DJ at a football camp, at a quarterback camp. I think it was the Manning camp. And they basically said, like, he looked like a linebacker. Like, he was like the horse we were just talking about. He was like the pitcher for Team USA, Monica Abbott tonight. She's large, bigger than everyone.
Yeah.
Like, man, that chick was big.
He's got the prototype of a quarterback that not only can he can run, but it's tough to bring him down in the open field when he gets a full head of steam.
He's a bigger Cam Newton. He's like Cam Newton, except bigger. Like, he's stronger. Like, the kid is thick, man. Like, he's got an NFL body already. Right? So, he's going to kill. He's going to terrorize people. As you stated, listen, we only saw him in, you know, the only one game he started, right, was the Notre Dame game. Well, he played in one. There was one other that he played. I think he came in injured, but it was the Notre Dame game. You know, the other one was Scrubs, what he played, what he got. He threw some balls. And you saw what he did against Notre Dame. So that was the kid's first college start. Gets thrown in there as a freshman, replacing, the legend Trevor Lawrence, Babano. And I'll tell you, they didn't lose that game at Notre Dame because of him. Like, that wasn't his fault. He put up 45 points, whatever the hell it was. 48, 42, 45, you know what I mean? Went to overtime. I remember it. Like, he kept scoring. He kept, like, it was like, oh, man, this kid's under a lot of pressure. It's going to OT. Boom, touchdown. It was like, wow, right? And it was the Clemson, we just talked about it, man. It was the damn Clemson defense that couldn't stop Ian Book and Notre Dame. Right? Like, the kid quarterback did what he could. Like, you know what I mean? He can't score 60 points. I'm not going to hold it against him. Like, he didn't even make any mistakes. It wasn't his fault. Like, they didn't win. He played great.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, The public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
And now he's had another year to get ready with Dabo and stuff. Yeah, yeah, and Dabo's a million times better coach than Kirby Smart is. More of a battle on the other side. I was blind, but now
I see. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
College football, great stuff. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. All right, it was fun talking college football. I'm fired up. I want to start firing off some college football futures. But Babano, let's get into the NFL. Last week.
Yeah, well, two last points, Gabe, just quickly. Just two last points I wanted to make about Clemson. The senior running back is Lynn J. Dixon. He's taken over for ETN. You talked about ETN being gone. They're raving about the guy. Are you that surprised? I mean, it's Clemson. They seem to reload, but they're saying Lynn J. Dixon's going to be a great running back for them.
Babano, what's your bigger point here? Like, you're the guest of the show, Babano. You cut the host off to go back to his thing. Like, it's called moving on, Babano. So good. You dropped the name.
I'll throw out one last thing about DJ. DJU, the quarterback, his numbers last year: 78 for 117. 67% completions, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. And that's him coming in for Lawrence in the middle of the season. Can you imagine with a full offseason, ready to prepare? He'll be good.
Yes, I know. But we talked about that minutes ago, Babano. I just said, I know we'd be good. Like, God, I try to be cool, Babano. We're going pretty smooth and stuff like that. But, bro, it's called, like, it's a new segment, Babano. You know what I mean? Like, you let it go. When the host says, we're talking NFL now. Oh, let me just tell you, they have a running back that I know, Babano.
Okay, and, we can move on now. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. DJ's gonna look good. Yes, but thank you, Babano. He's got a high completion percentage. We just spent 5 minutes talking about how good the kid was. Dear God, now you killed the flow of going into the NFL. You really did. Like, I don't know what you. It's not a YouTube show here, Babano. This is the big leagues, buddy. Yeah, huh? Like, you know, God. All right. So as I was gonna say. On Sunday, we talked about Atlanta. Anything else, Babano? You want to go backwards? Even did it when we went out at the end of the break when I said bye to Cam. See you, Cam. Like, you got it. It was like you stepped on the extra, Babano. Like, I mean, like, for.
Got to get my goodbye in there.
No, but you've listened to sports talk radio, what, your whole life, I guess?
A lot of years, yes. I don't know about my whole life, but probably over 20 years, yeah.
All right, so, like, do you ever hear guests, like, step on the host on the way out of every, like, do you ever hear a host when the music plays, like, talk over the commercial breaks? Or have you ever heard a guest, like, interrupt? Like, when you watched Mike off the record with Landsberg, when he came back with a new segment, did you ever see anyone say, hey, Michael, I want to go back to what we were talking about before the last break?
No, that's, yeah, true.
Nah, like,
yeah,
no,
true.
No. Yeah, all right, yeah. I can go on.
Although I've also not been on many shows where I can't hear the outro music half the time when we go to break, so that's my counter-argument.
Yeah, but how is it that Mark Lawrence is like 68 years old and hears it perfectly? How is it that Paul Bovey is in Mexico at times, will start talking and say, oh, wait, I'm going to hold on to the end of it. I hear the music. Like, all of our guests, all the people in our chat right now can attest to this. How many of our guests say, oh, I hear the music playing, so I'm going to hold my thoughts? Matthias, can you attest to this? It's all your fault, Ben. Oh, you brought it up. You don't want to start this. We'd be talking football right now if you just would have kept your mouth shut.
What happened? You didn't even apologize to me.
You didn't even apologize to me. But, and Matthias doesn't even know what the hell we're talking about. I don't even know why I asked him anything. What are you talking about, Matthias? What? NFL what?
I said, what happened to the NFL talk?
All right. That wasn't the question either. Dear God. It's like the three, it's like Larry Curley and Moe here. But time and time again, we hear guests say, oh, here comes the music. Here comes the music. I don't know. Yeah, like Josh said, this is Capital City. All right, so now you've thrown me off.
Either I'm getting deaf or my phone sucks then. I think that's what you're alluding to, yeah.
No, I don't think you listen. I think you're in your own world. That's my psychological profile of you, Babana. Yeah. I don't think you listen. You're not listening. You're just going. Like I said, I throw it out. All right. Try to move on now. Thank you. See what you did, though? It just takes, see, that's the thing. And I'm dead serious about this, too. You'll see this. Like, a good basketball player can only be so good. you know what I'm saying? can only be so good. I'll get to it. I remember I did a radio. I was doing a show with people, and it's only happened to me a few times in my career. And I was like, dear God, this is so bad, I can't even stop this. And I can save anything. I could, do a show, and I could pick a homeless person, outside a 7-Eleven right now and give you 2.5 hours of gold, right? No problem. But sometimes, you're like... And I got in my head where I was like, these people are ruining me. I was like, I'm getting worse. I was like, now I'm getting bad. You know what I mean? And it's like, it was just the come down. But to be a pro, you gotta be able to shake it off. It's like a quarterback. It's like, all right, dumbass, you dropped the perfect pass again. But I'm gonna move forward here. But it's the little things about it. We were sailing along and you brought it back. Now it's just been 9 minutes, and I'm legitimately angry. Not at you, but I'm mad at everybody, Babano. You're just, you're one of the everybody. All right, but it's all good. So now we're going to get to the NFL. Even flow. Okay. So as I was saying 8 minutes ago, on Sunday, we went in alphabetical order. A. We're going to get to B, and for some reason, Babano thought C was Clemson. All right, so we did Arizona and Atlanta, Babano. All right?
And That's right, we did.
I swear to God, I'm going to snap if you tell me, I want to go back to something about Arizona or Atlanta. No, we're not. So we're moving on to Baltimore right now. Baltimore, over under 11 wins, Babano, at FanDuel. I don't want to hear about how you got him at 9.5 either. So anyways, what are you thinking? What's your preview for the Ravens, Babano?
That's humanly impossible to get that number on the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are an interesting bunch. I mean, I don't think they're a shoe-in to win the division, to be honest with you, let alone win the AFC or win the Super Bowl. I think Cleveland could win this division. Baltimore, to me, they've got some significant question marks that they had to address in the offseason. You know, Lamar Jackson's got to improve with the throwing the football. That receiving core was terrible last year for the Baltimore Ravens. That had to be an emphasis for them going into the offseason to try to get a few more weapons. It was Marquise Brown, and even then he was not very reliable. And it was Mark Andrews, the tight end. So they had to upgrade the receiving core. That was a huge area of weakness last year. You know, I don't know if I buy into the guys they brought in to upgrade, though. You know, when you look at it, you know, Rashad Bateman, Sammy Watkins, who was not really all that great with the Chiefs. They signed him in free agency. So I'm just not sold yet on the receiving core. You know, I like Dobbins as the running back with Gus Edwards. The defense, the front seven looks pretty good.
Let me just throw in, we can't not be sold on Rashad Bateman. He hasn't played a game yet, right? So, let's give the kid a chance.
Yeah, we'll give him a chance.
He hasn't played a game yet.
Yeah.
He's, listen. People think he's – I'll disagree, Babano. I'll disagree. I think that they've upgraded the talent. I think they've upgraded the talent immensely around Lamar Jackson. And Lamar's accuracy has to improve. Listen, I think the total's high at 11. And you know, Cleveland are really good, too, right? And Pittsburgh are still good. But I think I think the number's kind of high, Babano. But I'll just throw, I'm throwing it in there. I do disagree. I think that I'm buying in more. I think that they did a good job, you know, under the circumstances. I mean, they didn't get Julio Jones. But you look at the weapons that they have with Sammy Watkins, with Rashad Bateman, takes pressure off of it takes pressure off of Mark Andrews, who I actually think is a little bit overrated. But, all right, go on, Babano. Sorry.
Yeah, the defense, I like the defensive line. It's very good. Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, Brandon Williams are all back. And if Campbell stayed, remember, Campbell got injured last year. He stays healthy. That group's good. I don't like the linebacking group. Patrick Queen, they liked him out of LSU. He didn't really have a good year last year. They got to hope he improves now that he's got a year of experience under his belt. I like the secondary. It's hard to disagree there with, you know, Marlon Humphrey. They paid him the big contract, the big bucks. Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, again, can he stay healthy? We seem to ask that every year about Jimmy Smith, but when he is healthy, he's a good cornerback still. So I like that pass defense. I'm with you. The schedule, I think it's going to be one where, you know, it's not a shoe-in that they're able to get to that win total that they need to get over that number. So I'm neutral on Baltimore when it comes to the win total. I'm not playing it either way, over or under.
Classic Babano. It tells us the roster and then no pick at the end. All right.
Hey, I gave you two on the last two teams. Like, I really did Arizona over and Atlanta under.
I should have seen it coming. All right, Babano. Buffalo Bills over under. FanDuel has them at 11. And I, as a Bills fan, I know who plays on the Bills. So I'm aware about their roster. But what's your opinion on the Bills this year? Over, under. And just for the record, let's get the division odds up here for Baltimore. That is a tough division. I tell you, there's a lot of good teams. These divisions are good this year. Like, you can make an argument. There's actually a debate, I think, about what the best division of football is, which you can't always say. But looking at the AFC North numbers, the Baltimore Ravens are favorites at plus 115. The Cleveland Browns are the second choice at plus 145. The Pittsburgh Steelers, so you see it's a changing of the guard. Pittsburgh Steelers are plus 440, and the Cincinnati Bengals are 23-1. In my opinion, Babano, I don't think Baltimore should really be favorites, to be honest. Like, I sort of see it as a toss-up. I guess they sort of had to do this, but I don't think Pittsburgh should be plus 440 and Cleveland should be plus 145 and Baltimore plus 115. Pittsburgh were 11-0 last year at one point. Yeah, they sort of wheels fell off a bit, but if they run the ball more, they can win football games again. So I wouldn't bet Baltimore at plus 115. And as you mentioned, the 11, Babano, whatever, dude, you got to go 12-5, playing 17 games now. You got to go 12-5 to win that bet. That's a pretty tough number. You know, I think it's a little high here for Baltimore, in my opinion. And so, and if I have to pick, who would you pick to win the division? Who are you taking Cleveland to win the division? Cleveland?
I like the Browns. The fact they got all the way to the divisional round against the Chiefs and actually hung in there for a while against Kansas City on the road. And I think they're going to be even better this year, at least roster-wise, personnel-wise. I think that Cleveland team this year is every bit as good, if not better, than last year's group.
All right, so the Ravens win total is 11.
No,
see,
I do that
I got
too.
Sabotaged
yeah.
early with
I called the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, it was fine until this segment was rolling. Like I said, that's what happens. Guys start tossing bricks around me, and then I start tossing bricks. That was my point a couple of minutes ago. Hate that. Freaking hate that. All right, we'll take a break. So Buffalo Bills on the other side. Their win total is also 11. Liked it better at 10.5. But the Bills division, I think, is a little bit more manageable. The Late Night Anger Management Class. We'll give a battle's take on the Bills on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I love this. We get to a couple NFL previews. We're talking about Baltimore. No pick. That was the best. Nah, I'm neutral at the end. But now you don't have to have a pick forever. Every team. Ian Cameron, Babano, kicking with us. So to recap, if I remember correctly, Babano, don't cut me off this time. See, this is what it would have been last time. And I was sailing along. It was real smooth, too. I think I was pitching a no-hitter. Now I'm hitting batters and stuff. So Arizona, you liked over 8. So did I, because I remember that. We were both in agreement. I'm betting the Arizona over 8. I'm not going to say I'm going to bet Atlanta under 7.5, but I think they don't go over. But I'm not betting. I can't bet. Like you said, I'm not betting 32 win totals. Baltimore, I think the number's too high at 11. That's tough. I think they've improved, but I think that division's really tough, too. All right, so the Buffalo Bills, we got to be quick, so I guess we'll continue this on Sunday, Babano. The Buffalo Bills win total is 11. What do you think about the Bills this year? Are you buying in?
Over. 100%. Already bet it. This isn't a lean. This is a bet. Over the total. You look at the Bills. They've got a manageable schedule this year, in my opinion. They can navigate it. The receiving core, John Brown's gone, but you bring in Emmanuel Sanders. Might actually be an upgrade. You know, Diggs is back. Gabe Davis is going to have a big year. The offensive line is improving. The pass rush was their biggest problem last year. I think it's going to be better. Gregory Rousseau, I'm interested to see how he does. They drafted him out of Miami. The linebacking core, Edmonds and Milano, doesn't get much better than that. The secondary, Trey White, Wallace, Teron Johnson, Poyer and Hyde, great secondary, loaded, great coaching staff. They didn't lose Brian Daboll. That's huge. They've got an elite offensive coordinator. They worried he might get a head coaching job. That didn't happen.
Yep.
This team's going to be really good. They go over the total.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Babano. We'll continue that on Sunday. But keeping Brian Daboll was big. You know, I was surprised, you know what I mean, that he just didn't find the right job or it wasn't the right fit. He decided to stay another year. But I think this is the last year he's going to be with the Buffalo Bills. Great stuff, Ian Cameron. Follow him on Twitter, @Babano. Thanks, Babano. Bring it.